everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited today to be celebrating Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes. If you're hearing that voice, we have a very special guest today on the podcast. Author, screenwriter, Greg McBride is here.
Slash model. Slash
yes.
Model. For anyone listening, I happen to model as well. For anyone watching, it's just writer.
So you haven't been on the podcast for a little bit. So if people are new to the show, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay. My name is Amber, and I've been working now. I'm a big fan of Hallmarkies. I have been on the show a couple different times. Yeah. My goal is always to make Rachel laugh. So we've already done that
today.
Successful. So I'm done being silly. My introduction into the Hallmark universe was I wrote a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie called A Heavenly Christmas with Kristen Davis, Eric McCormick, and Shirley MacLaine. And it is my great honor to have done so. And not only, you know, as a writer, did I never think that, you know, Shirley MacLaine would be in something that I wrote, but it also, I was already a fan of Hallmark because I'm a big Christmas junkie. I've been known to listen to Christmas music all year round, but also found this really incredible group of fans and enthusiasts and podcasters and bloggers and just all these people that, you know, love that universe and support it and dissect it and all that stuff. So it's been great to get involved with that. And that's how I came to, And I'm a writer. I'm currently working on a show that I just sold to BET called Sister Code. It's not airing yet, but I'm very excited about that, a 1-hour drama. Working, as Rachel knows, on a horror movie. So a lot of different stuff, but my heart is definitely in Christmas. I love romantic comedies. I get very excited by seasons, and it's always a pleasure to be on the podcast.
Well, you are such a support to me, and I just am so grateful for to have you as my friend. And I really am.
Me too.
I really am. And we had you on last year for our Winterfest preview, and it was the greatest wish of my heart to have you back for Winterfest again, preview. And Hallmark didn't do a preview show this year for Winterfest. They had it intermixed in a rerun of Christmas in Rome. But anyway, we're gonna provide your preview show where Hallmark did not. And but did you get a chance to watch any of the Christmas Countdown to Christmas or any of the movies at all?
I did. I didn't get to see all of them. I want to say my favorite was probably Christmas Town from this season.
Me too. That was my favorite as well. Yeah.
I'm not copying off your paper. You know, all the movies have their pluses. A couple have a few minuses, but I thought Christmas Town just was like bing, 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 hit all the great
parts.
And obviously with the cast that it had, and even the producers, as somebody that goes on IMDb and checks that out as well. Yeah. I mean, the pedigree was there, but I love when the pedigree is there and nobody phones it in. I mean, I feel like sometimes in Christmas movies, you can sort of feel where they're painting by number, and sometimes that works. And this isn't just something for Hallmark. I mean, it applies to Lifetime and other places that are doing TV movies as well. But I feel like you can really tell when people are into Christmas, and that might just be the little kid in me wanting to believe that. But I mean, Christmas Town, you could feel it in your heart, and it was thoroughly entertaining. And so for me, that would have been the highlight of the recent batch.
Me too. I thought I cried. It got to the heartstrings. I thought the cast was really good. I think it's the best acting CCB has ever done for Hallmark.
She was terrific. She really was.
Mm-hmm.
I love especially when, you know, somebody like her, as is true for a lot of our Hallmark favorites, are in a number of movies, right? And she's in she does a Christmas movie every year.
Yeah.
And again, like just was fully there and a different character, and you know, it hit all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, I agree. Every time she would read one of those letters from her dad, that would really get me. That was the highlight.
Yeah, there was some great emotion in it. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's really no reason why there shouldn't be. I mean, it's, you know, and I think that's how the classics and standards come to be. You know, I'm lucky enough because of Twitter and a few other social media things that I hear from people that really love A Heavenly Christmas and will watch it in the middle of the year, just for whatever reason, it speaks to something they've either gone through or are going through. And so you have, when you have threads like that, that you know, you become a part of somebody's life, like that's such a gift. And Christmas Town for sure, like, you know, that's a classic.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's dive into Winterfest. And then
enough of Christmas.
Yeah, no, we're done. Woohoo! and we are going to be having pretty much all of January is going to be devoted to various list episodes. We're going to have our best Hallmark top 10 Hallmark Christmas movie list. We're going to have our best non-Hallmark Christmas list. We're going to have best non-Christmas Hallmark list, and then some other things, some other superlatives, some other things that we've got in the works. So we're going to be talking about all this in the weeks to come. So let us know if you're listening, let us know your thoughts and what was your favorite, and we'll also include that. So there's a lot of fun stuff coming up, but let's talk Winterfest. It's our little palate cleanser, I guess, after our post. It's like when you get sherbet at the end of the meal, you know.
No, it's like, it's, are you kidding? It's like a spurious drug, man. It's like, they're like, okay, these people are going to be super depressed. Let's give them sugar pills. We're going to tell them they're antidepressants. And so it's like, it's not quite a Christmas movie, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
There's no Christmas trees, but, you know, so yeah, no, this is like, it's like a 12-step program for Christmas addicts, you know, and thank God, like, we go into January and, you know, we have this stuff to look forward to, because otherwise it's, you know, it's like, oh, do I keep watching Elf? What do I do?
Yeah, it's rough.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
It is rough. Yeah. It is rough.
So the first movie is called Winter in Vail and stars Lacey Chabert and Tyler Hines. So Lacey Chabert, you know, is one of the queens of Hallmark. So she's helping us adjust back. into the world here. So it's Los Angeles event coordinator Chelsea learns that her strange uncle has recently passed away and left her a chalet in Vail, Colorado. After being passed up for a promotion at work, she heads to Vail and finds the chalet is in the midst of being renovated by Owen, a contractor who knew her uncle. She quickly begins making friends and maybe more in town.
What?
Before she hears from her boss and is offered a job she always wanted, Chelsea starts to fall for Owen. Her old boss reaches out and offers her the promotion. So, Lacey Chabert, she has lots of uncles who give her property because she had in the African
like
movie, her uncle left her the property in Africa. So. Yeah, she's pretty lucky.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. At first blush, this is like the description. It's like, wait a minute, is a Saturday Night Live doing a spoof? Just because, you know, this is sort of the step-by-step program of a romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. Certainly of many Hallmark movies we've seen. But, you know, again, when it's airing, it's right after Christmas, set in Vail, Colorado. We know it's going to be just gorgeous and luscious. also with this cast, you know, they're going to step it up, you know, even though, you know, she does have a history of getting real estate for free. We know Lacey's going to be great in this. So I'm all in. I mean, even though it's, you know, it's, but it, you know, it isn't that a Christmas movie too. When we watch a Christmas movie, we know by the end, the town will be saved. This will happen. There will be love there, you know, or a romantic comedy or whatever. So I'm all in for this one.
This plot does seem very basic, but Tyler Hines has yet to not have chemistry with a co-star. He brings it every week.
Especially if she has real estate. Yeah, you know, then it's like, real estate. Sign me up. I love you more.
Yeah, but he makes me believe that they actually, like, obviously they're, I don't think that they really are, but if somebody were to say, oh, they had like a real relationship with any of his, I'd be like, oh, I saw that in that movie. There was that chemistry. And like, he makes me believe.
People say that about us, Rachel, but we are not discussing it. No truth to the rumor. I love you and pick up some milk on the way home tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
No truth.
But yeah, I mean, he just has, he had great chemistry with Kelly Pickler. He had great chemistry with Julie Gonzalo. He had great chemistry with Taylor Cole. He just always does. And he brings out that kind of droll sort of, like his, I don't know. He just has a sort of dry sense of humor that works so well with these sort of fluffy romantic comedies.
I agree. It's almost like he's in on it a bit. Uh-huh. And then with his acting ability, then all of a sudden we're like, yeah, I hope they fall in love, yeah. You know? So yeah, that's another point along with the setting and all that stuff that it has the cast that it has. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. I think it'll be really fun. And I, and Lacey is so sweet as an actress, especially
so charming.
Films. So charming. And, but she can sometimes come across as kind of whiny if she's with the wrong script. But I feel like between, I'm not sure who the writer is on this. I forgot to look that up, but, I think between Tyler Hines and this location and sort of things, I feel like it's gonna be good. So, we're doing this 1 to 5 snowflakes. What is your snowflake excitement level on this one?
4.5.
Okay.
I cannot follow the rules and just be like 4 or 5, 4.5, but that's a high snowflake rating.
Yeah, that's really good.
So if you saw last year's preview, Winterfest preview show, you would know that. I don't just throw those snowflakes out.
Right. So I'm going to say 4 snowflakes on this one. I'm very hopeful that it's going to be good, and it's coming up on the 4th. So we're gonna see it this weekend.
We need it, man. We need it. We need that Christmas or feel, just the wintry feel. We need the love story. Please bring it on.
All right. Next one is called Love in Winterland. And this stars Italia Ricci, Chad Michael Murray, and Jack Turner. And the summary is luxury hotel manager Ali makes it to the finals on a dating show. However, even the last date is a hometown date. She finds herself reconnecting with her ex-boyfriend while still crushing on the bachelor. Plus, her ex owns the inn in the production she is staying at. So this one is kind of weird. They've done a number of dating reality show movies lately. There was one in summer called My One and Only, I think it was called. And then there was another in for June Brides. There was one where she was on a reality dating show. And so far, those two have been bonkers, kind of nuts. Well, especially the second one, the Me, My, and Only or whatever. So I don't know. It's sort of a thing they're thinking about. I guess they're trying to get that Bachelor audience to tune in to Hallmark.
I think so.
Which is probably smart.
Especially since it launches in The Bachelor launches in January.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you want to pick up on that. I personally, I'm not a big fan of shows that choose backgrounds like that, you know, a dating show and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That's just me. But
Yeah, it's not my favorite because I don't watch those kind of shows. I was very disappointed because at first this was called Alice in Christmasland. And that sounded so fun. I was like, this is going to be like, an Alice in Wonderland-y kind of take. And we don't know the writer on this one, but it sounded like that just sounded so different than the rest of the programming. So when they changed it to, first it was Alice in Winterland, and then now it's Love in Winterland. So it's definite, I felt like downgrade each time.
Yeah. As they fit it into its, peg in Winterland.
Yeah. Because doesn't that sound so fun? Alice in Christmasland.
It sounds so fun. We should stop talking about it so I can get busy writing it. Yeah, nobody else
please
it.
Do. Oh, man. But it is a great cast. I mean, Chad Michael Murray, super charming. And Talia Ricci is lovely. And Jack Turner, it's weird. He's not on the IMDb list. That's weird. But anyway... I assume he plays the bachelor on it.
I think so.
Yeah. So this one I am going to give it 3 snowflakes.
All right. I'm going to give it 2.5 snowflakes because I'm going to continue to be the fly in the ointment on the scale. But yeah, I mean, I think like you, I think it's a great cast, and like you, I haven't necessarily been bowled over when they've done these dating show backgrounds before, so, but maybe this will change my mind, you know, like you point out, the cast is good, so, you know, the leads are both super charming, and still sort of not new to the Hallmark world, but new enough that we're still getting to know them and some of the ways that they, you know, play different characters. So that'll be fun, I think.
Well, and I'll try not to hold it against it that it's not Alice in Christmasland, which was the dream of my
I've life. Asked you to stop talking about that.
All right. So then we have Love on Iceland. And this stars Colin Donnell, Caitlin Doubleday, and Patty Murin. And Caitlin, she was in the second Graceland, the third Graceland, but the Christmas in Graceland spinoff movie. And I actually thought that she was really good. She was way better than I expected, and certainly a better actress than Kelly Pickler. So that movie was a lot, the Christmas at Graceland Home for the Holidays was a lot better than I thought it had any right to be. It was not like in my top 10 or anything, but I guess I had very low expectations going into it. But anyway, I don't know this Colin Donnell at all. So we'll see about that. But Patty Murin, she plays Anna in Frozen on Broadway. So, and she's been turned out to be a pretty big Hallmark fan. So that should be fun. And she's just a cute person. And the summary is, searching for a fresh podcast idea for work, Chloe.
Which you can't relate to.
Yeah, not at all. Chloe heads on a spontaneous trip to Iceland with her college friends. She doesn't expect to run into her ex, Charlie, but what starts as begrudgingly spending more time together results in new beginnings for them both. So what do you think about that premise? Do you think that sounds fun?
Well, I'm interested in the Iceland angle of it, you know, that aspect sounds really fun to me, especially, you know, it's Winterfest, so I want to see winter. So let's see some love stories playing out in a winter setting, and that, you know, the fact that it's set in Iceland could bring a little bit more originality to what sounds like a little bit of a mechanical plot, to me, but, you know, I'm in. I'm definitely going to watch.
Yeah. The Iceland will be fun because it is a beautiful country.
So gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah. And so that'll be fun to see.
There's more there than just ice. It's not just Iceland, everyone.
In fact, I think that wasn't it like a misdirect that they named Greenland and Iceland when it really it's just to misdirect people.
Let's not bring education into this, Rachel. I'm here for looks and looks alone. Unless you're watching, then you know that's not true. But if you're listening, I'm here only for my looks.
But this is directed by Claire Niederpruem. And I don't know when I'll fully forgive her for her Little Women movie, which I just hated so much. I really disliked it. But she did Holiday for Holiday for Heroes or whatever. She did that one with Mark Lucas that was quite good this year for Christmas. And then she did In the Key of Love in the summer, which wasn't my favorite. And then she did Love, Fall, and Order, which was cute. So I'm beginning the healing process.
You're working through it.
Yeah, working through it.
12 steps is the theme of our show today.
Yeah. Hopefully this love on Iceland will be so great that I'll finally gotten over how insufferable and horrible she made Joe in that movie.
Tell us how you really feel, Rachel. Yeah, and
making Meg make out with some random guy in the basement of the school. What on earth? That movie was awful. And so it's an interesting experience.
Oh my gosh, I am dying to know your snowflakes rating for this.
Yeah, so but I think it could be fun. I'm going to give this for Patty Murin, Caitlin Doubleday for the Iceland setting, I'm gonna give it 2.5.
Welcome to like my world. Yeah. 0.5s. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Which is also the name of our garage band, everyone. I'm gonna give it 2.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see Iceland. I want them, 30 minutes in for me to go, oh, I feel terrible about just giving it 2. I would up it right away. So we'll see.
Pro Iceland. Pro. Okay. Then the next we have amazing
nice winter delivery
winter romance. and if you
didn't lose me in that one, yeah,
because wink, there's wink. it's a maze.
I don't know which way she's gonna go with her snowflakes on this one.
It's pretty exciting. It has Jesse Schramm and Marshall Williams, and I love Jesse. She's the best. She's been on our show twice, and we had her fall movie cruelly taken away from us and never released. So that was very frustrating. And I don't know if we'll ever get to see it. And I got to talk to her in the fall when we thought that her movie was coming out, and then we never got it. And so hopefully this will be redemption for that. This has a new writer who I am not familiar. This has a writer I am not familiar with, named Barbara Kimlicka is her name. And so hopefully that will be fun. I guess she did Winter Castle last year. So that's cool. And she's done like tons of stuff. Never mind. Forget that. But this story is when jaded journalist Julia is sent home on a non-negotiable leave, her childhood friend, who is the one who always held her in his heart, has built a giant snow maze, which prompts Julia to find her way to true love. That's summary. Huh. So how would you feel if someone built you a snow maze? Because they held you in their heart.
Can I tell you something? I went to a pumpkin fest this fall, and we went into a corn maze and got so lost that we had to go back out the entrance. We were like just done. Now, in my defense, it was like 98 degrees. I live in Los Angeles, and it was a warm fall here.
Yeah.
It was just too much. And I knew that on the other edge of the maze were the refreshment stands. But so I don't know about this ice. If somebody built me an ice maze, if her name were Rachel, then I would have a preacher waiting at the center and would marry her.
Yeah,
maybe that's what happens at the end of Amazing Winter Romance.
Yeah, I think that's natural. That will fit just perfect. I think I guess it's novel enough to have a snow maze, but that summary is just terrible, absolutely terrible. but I love Jesse, so that's pretty much my main pull for this one, because I didn't love her princess movie, Royal New Year's one, but it certainly wasn't her fault. Anyway, I do really love her, so I'm gonna give this. I'm gonna give this 2.5 snowflakes.
All right. Give it 3, and here's why. You're right. The log line again sounds like it was written by a Saturday Night Live writer, goofing on Winterfest movies.
Yeah.
But that though, and with the cast that it has, because I agree with you, the lead actress is amazing. That I'm hoping there's a surprise in there. Do you know what I mean? I hope they're leading us into the maze, sticking with our playfulness here, with sort of a simplistic thing, and then it will, you know, divert in other directions. Hopefully it won't lose us halfway through.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, and you're just doing great. I hope that we actually get to spend some time in the maze. And hopefully it won't be one of those movies where they spend most of the time indoors in like 5 seconds maze.
Right. Like me in the corn maze.
Yeah, that's right. okay. Then this is our last one for Winterfest. Then we have some mysteries to talk about. But it's this is called Hearts of Winter. And this stars Jill Wagner, Victor Webster, and Rekia Bernard. And Jill and Victor have worked together in the past in A Harvest Wedding, which was pretty solid. I liked that one. And it's local Denver interior designer Bethany is all about creative visualization, is excited to remodel one lucky winner's home. And is excited to remodel one lucky winner's home. However, when a young girl submits her widowed father and he wins, he's unsure how he feels about a stranger coming in and redecorating their house. Bethany and Grant spend a lot of time together and quickly realize this is much more than just another job. we love hot widowers in Hallmark.
Right, with cute daughters. Yeah. Or nieces, as in A Heavenly Christmas.
All right. And so that's promising. We've seen Victor and Jill be very good in the past. She has now played an interior designer multiple times with her Christmas movie. She's an interior designer. She was an event planner in A Harvest Wedding. She's a big planning event.
She's a big planner.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hasn't planned for love, I imagine.
No, I don't.
Not
think
this
so.
Time.
And this sounds cute enough. I feel like it. They used to do these kind of, like, I love the All I Want for Christmas. Have you ever seen that old school Hallmark movie with, what's her name? But it's Gail O'Grady
The
lead. And it has Robert Milhouse as her.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
It's a good one. He's her BFF to the extreme. And she just, like, they're basically like a family, but they've just kind of accepted each other as like not going further anyway. And then
like us, go on.
Yeah. Her cute little boy sends in a video to of What I Want for Christmas, this contest. And it's that for his mom to have a husband for Christmas. He sends in this video, he's picked, and for a brief period she almost gets engaged to the son of the toy company guy. And of course that's not gonna work, right? Because you've got this other guy that she's been that's basically like the father to this little boy at this point. Anyway, it's really good. I like it a lot. People should watch it. And yeah, so this whole idea of this little kid sending in this this thing for his mom to get a boyfriend is pretty cute. Or the little, you know, the little girl.
For the dad to get a makeover on his home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It could be really cute.
Yeah, that's a cute premise. I think, you know, the fact that the two leads have been in a movie together before, you know, it will hopefully dictate some chemistry. They're both really good. I liked them in their other movie together. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And I always love to see people that have been previously paired together again, and it's really kind of a fun way to see their acting chops. And and you know, Jill Wagner's a great actress, like she really is.
She's,
you know,
really
she's got a resume long before totally random, but when she was on the one season they did of Blade, and she was amazing.
I've heard that.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Me too. I mean, and Victor Webster has been good in almost all of his movies. He was in a mystery this last quarter with Danica McKellar, and it was actually quite charming, quite good. I love Summer Villa. I think that one's really good with him and Hilary Burton. And I like the Harvest Wedding. That one's really good. I wasn't a huge fan of his 2018 Christmas movie, because I just felt he was too whiny for my taste. But I think it was called Hometown Christmas. But for the most part, I really like him. I really like Jill. I think their premise is pretty cute. I bet you Rekia Bernard is like her boss or, you know, coworker of some kind. And she's great. So I'm going to give this one 4.5 snowflakes.
I love that you are .5-ing it.
I know.
And that is why I love her, Your Honor. That, and she's very talented and nice. Rachel may come off as super mean on screen, but she's very nice behind the scenes.
Just as long as I'm not talking about 2018 Little Women.
No. Oh, that's true. See? See? I was teasing, but they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this 3.5 stars.
Yeah, but yeah,
that's a good score. And
yeah, it is.
I look forward to it.
All right, very good. Now we're going to dive into mysteries.
Mysteries.
So we only know right now about three of them. There probably will
be
four. The
other is a mystery.
The other fourth is a mystery.
Okay.
I think it might be a mystery 101. So that would be a double dip with Jill, but I don't know. That's just speculation on my part. The first one is Crossword Mysteries Abracadaver, and this is our second time previewing this because it was originally planned for the fall, and they even had it in the fall mystery preview show, but then Lifetime decided to start their Christmas slate early, and Hallmark couldn't handle that, and so they bumped out this movie that was going to air, and that happened on like Wednesday or Thursday of that week. We were all ready to go to watch the second Crossword Mysteries for that, you know, period. There were supposed to be two in a row, and then all of a sudden I don't know any other studio that would pull something that's new and replace it with a rerun. It's so bizarre.
Turf Wars, man. I'm telling you, East Coast, West Coast, Lifetime, Hallmark, it is on, Rachel.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was just like, what is happening? So yeah, this was supposed to air in 2019, and now it's 2020.
And they went in and they had to CGI all the fall leaves and make them snowflakes. Yeah. That's just a guess.
Yeah. So this is Lacey Chabert, Brennan Elliott, Barbara Niven, and it's a well-known magician drops dead in the middle of a dangerous trick on stage in front of a packed audience. But when the sudden death turns out to be murder, New York Sentinel crosswords editor and part-timer sleuth Tess Harper and NYPD detective Logan O'Connor team up to discover exactly whose sleight of hand is behind the deadly "now you see him, now you don't" stunt. Together, they must uncover the not-so-obvious clues and work their investigative magic to bring a killer to justice.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Dun.
Now that's how you write a summary. That was very well done, I think. Yeah, I think they did a very good job.
I think you did a good job.
I felt like I showed my reading abilities. We'll see if I can show my speaking abilities.
You did very well. You're like a preview. From the minds that brought you Crossword Mysteries 1 comes the winter version of number 2.
How do you feel about these cozy mysteries? Do you think they're fun, or it's not for you?
You know what? I do think they're fun because I was a slow build to them, but I feel like they add a little flavor and a little snap that we don't always get in other movies. So I think they're fun. Yeah, I think it's all the stuff we want, right?
Yeah,
some playful banter and but there's a little bit of an edge, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually a slow convert as well. When we first started the podcast, I told Amber I don't want to cover them. I have no interest in that at all. But we ended up doing so, and I've seen enough of them that I feel like I kind of get it. I get the appeal, and I get when they're done well and when they're done poorly. So the
which can be said of Christmas movies or any other too.
That's fair.
Right?
I mean, that's fair. That's true. So the crossword mysteries. Now we've had two of them, I think, or three. I can't remember, but we had a couple. And I think that they really struggle to find a way to involve Lacey Chabert's character. At this point, I mean, the first one it made sense because there was actually clues in the crossword puzzle, but how many times can you do that and make it work? And so then the next one, so I think there has just been two, but then the next one, it was literally like a good friend of hers. So that's how she ended up becoming involved in the thing. But how many times can you do that? Like how many people can die in this woman's life, you know? So I think that's the struggle with this particular one, because some of the others in the series, like, some of the other cozy mysteries, I feel like it's more natural for the people to, I mean, other ones, it's a real stretch. Like the morning show mysteries is a real stretch. Like how do you get this chef on a morning show involved in mysteries? It's tough. But other ones, I feel like it's a little more natural. Garage Sale Mysteries, because she's like out in the storage units and, you know, like it's at estates and stuff like that. So it made a little bit more sense. And you have like Haley Dean, who is a therapist / attorney. So it makes a little more sense. And but this one, I feel like they really struggle to get Lacey involved in the story. It feels kind of weak in that way. But I think that it's nice that it's set in New York, because these ones that are set in small towns, you're like, boy, there's a lot of murdering going on in this tiny little town. So I do like that about this. And Brendan Elliott, he's a pro. He does a good job. And I wish that they would also find a better use of Barbara Niven, because she's such a good actress. And I feel like her role in these movies is just basically to be an exposition dump character for Lacey to kind of tell all the clues to. And so that feels underused. I haven't been in love with the series, but I do think that this premise with the magic sounds kind of fun to me. And it has potential to be a little bit over the top. And I don't know, what do you think about this premise?
I would agree with you. You know, Brendan Elliott is always really fun. Uh-huh. In his movies, so I'm hoping that there will be a sense of that in this. I agree with you about Barbara Niven, but I don't know. There's maybe it's the way you read it, but this sounds fun to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like this sounds like it's a really fun premise, and let's hope there's a reason for her to be involved more than just she had tickets that night and just happened to be there. But, you know, and I would like to see them really involve the crossword puzzle somehow too. But yeah. Who knows that they haven't? You know, so for me, I'm going to give it 3 snowflakes. Yeah. I'm optimistic.
I think from the preview way back in the fall, I think the preview, she goes to the magic castle or magic place for her birthday. So that's how she ends up.
Oh, she
there.
Does go for ticket. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then 2.5 snowflakes.
It's not the biggest strike, but hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully it'll work in some way. But yeah, I am going to give it 3. But we'll see. I'm not 100% sold on the series yet. So, that will be on the 5th.
We will look forward to what you think of
it. So then we have a pilot.
That's so funny. We have her on the 4th and the 5th. It is Lacey weekend.
That's true. Ooh, it's a good time to be a Hallmark fan. Good time for sure. Okay. Then we have a pilot for a new mystery series. And it is called A Beautiful Place to Die, A Martha's Vineyard Mystery. And this stars Chelsea Hobbs, Jesse Metcalf, who's actually the real lead of the series, and Sarah Lind. And this is based on novels by Philip R. Craig. And it's a pretty simple summary we have. It's just, after being forced into early retirement, former detective Jeff Jackson returns to a quiet life on Martha's Vineyard. Quiet at least until a body washes up and he's drawn back in to crime solving.
Dang it. That's his line. When he finds a body. He's like, dang it.
Yeah, nice try. So, how do you feel about Jesse Metcalf?
You know, it's interesting. I'm like, wow, are they making a male a lead?
Yeah.
That would be big news. How faithful are they going to be to the book series?
Yeah.
And if they're making a male a lead, Jesse Metcalf is an interesting choice for that. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very popular novel series. So, when you have that kind of solid footing there, it can make things better. You know what I mean? Or even performances better.
Right.
But I feel like there's a lot not known about this. Like I would be surprised to see Hallmark Movies and Mysteries or Hallmark do a movie where the female character isn't the lead.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like. It's him on the
poster. It does, absolutely. Even in the little video preview, which again shows us nothing but a postcard view of where it's set. Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful place to die. Truth in advertising. So
it's gonna be surprising.
It's gonna be interesting. Breaking the mold a little bit here?
I just wonder if they're going to make some convoluted reason why we have to hear Jesse Metcalf sing. Because so far, every single one of his projects, for the most part, I guess maybe his Christmas movies, he doesn't sing, but a lot of his projects, he ends up singing. And
I wonder if that's in his writer, like that it has to, you know?
I don't want them to do that, but I have to admit I would die laughing if they did do that. So I kind of want them to do it because that would be
hilarious.
Oh my
gosh, I feel like we should make a bet.
Yeah. I do like Chelsea Hobbs. She's actually a really charming actress. So we see how much she's involved. And I'm definitely going to try to read the book because I think it'll be interesting to compare. Because you're right. When they are based on novels, I think it is more successful. I think that's why the Murder, She Baked movies worked as well as they did, because they had those solid books behind them. I'm gonna give this one, I mean, I'm honestly not really that excited about it, but I'm gonna give it 2 snowflakes. But hopefully it's a pilot, so hopefully it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 2 as well. And you know what? Sometimes when you go in with less expectations, like I went into Christmas Town with huge expectations, and luckily it paid off. I needed it to from my Christmas heart, and it did. But sometimes when you watch a movie with less expectations, it can be really delightful, you know?
It's true.
And again, this is a series. These are characters that are established. We'll see what happens.
Yep. All right, last one, we have Rue the Day, a gourmet detective mystery. So we thought they were done with the gourmet detective. We haven't had one for a little while. Now we get a new one, and that's probably thanks to Lori Loughlin and the Garage Sale Mysteries. I think I'm pretty sure that was why they ended up having to bring this one back. But it's ours, Dylan Neal and Brooke Burns. And it's, Henry is hired to authenticate and purchase a long lost and very valuable recipe book. Soon, Henry and Maggie find themselves in a murder mystery where secrets hidden within a treasured book have dire consequences for all who own it. Which is ridiculous. But I do like the gourmet
I know
detective.
You're laughing, but I think that sounds really good. Yeah. I do. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Like if they, you know, we talked about the first crossword movie. So if they really incorporate that book mm-hmm. and make it, you know, so integral to what else is going on and why things are happening, that to me, like as a writer, that gets me excited. So I hope that's going to translate onto the screen.
Now, I prefer these cozy mysteries that are a little bit on the nutso bonkers side of things. Like, I loved last year, this 2019, I loved the Emma Fielding movie. It was ridiculous about these college professors who were so like pedantic and snobby. And there was this whole like secret cult and this weird underground like lair and vault. Basically, it was ridiculous, but I was very entertained by it. It was fun.
And by the way, everyone, side note, that is not unlike how Hallmarky's podcast works. But yeah. I'm gonna do a tell all article for Vanity yeah. Fair later this year and expose everyone. But don't tell Rachel. Just kidding, Rachel. Go on.
It's gonna be epic.
Go on, please.
So yeah, I love Brooke.
Brooke's great.
Yeah, and Dylan's a pro. So I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited about this. They brought it back. They're going to hopefully be on their best behavior so that they get more.
Oh my gosh. Of course. Are you kidding? It's like winning the lottery. They're like, yeah. Thank you, Lori. Did I just say that out loud? Sorry.
Right. So I'm going to give this 4 snowflakes. I think it has.
And I'm going to go out with 3.5.
Yeah. I think it has the most potential of these 3 to be the best.
I agree. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that took longer than I expected. So,
because Greg never shuts up.
So we'll just really quick.
We'd like to acknowledge a special occasion.
Yes. So we were going to talk about the New Year's movie like we did last year, where we reviewed Midnight Kiss, the great Hallmark movie with all the
van. She's being sarcastic, everyone.
With all the van driving. I remember
that. Oh my gosh. Literally, I've been in therapy for that all year. When I pass a van, it's, you know, not because I quiver and not because I think they're going to kidnap me. It's because I have just scenes of that van parked outside.
And then they canceled the New Year's movie, so we didn't have that to talk about.
Which is another mystery, by the way. It just disappeared.
So weird. But we thought we'd just briefly talk about When Harry Met Sally, which is very iconic to New Year's, especially because the ending is on New Year's. And it is its 30th anniversary it premiered in 1989. Of course, this is an iconic movie with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, directed by Rob Reiner and written by Nora Ephron, who, if you follow the podcast at all, you know she is my favorite writer to ever exist, except for Greg McBride.
Such a loss. I still feel a loss of her.
I do too. I feel like there has not been a replacement that's at all equal to her at all since 2012, since she passed. We've just been kind of trying to make up for it. And I love her writing so much. And real quick, I just wanted to, so the main point of the movie is that men and women can't be friends. that the sex always gets in the way. This is an R-rated film, but I don't know. And the interesting thing about it is that they based the movie off of her relationship with Rob Reiner. And I think what's sort of interesting about that is I think they started the movie with the premise that yes, they can be friends, because here Nora Ephron and Rob Reiner are friends, literally friends. But I feel like the end conclusion of the movie is no, men and women can't be friends, because that's the basic, every example in the movie is basically no, they end up getting together. Whether you're talking, you know, Carrie Fisher, Bruno Kirby, whether you're talking Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. So first of all, do you think obviously we're talking both heterosexual men and women, but do you think that that's true, that they can't be friends? And second of all, do you think that's the end take of the movie?
It's interesting. You know, When Harry Met Sally is one of those movies that we all hold in our psyche. And then when you watch it again, it is what it is for sure. And it holds up wonderfully. Not every movie that we're like, that was the best movie ever. You watch it again, yeah. Like, uh-oh, that stinks. Right. And when you watch it, like you don't think of it as an R-rated movie. And when you watch it, you're like, oh, wait, this is an R-rated movie. Yeah. Even now, even by today's standards, right. An R-rated movie, which is part of the refreshing aspect of it, though. You know, I love that they can go to places that we don't necessarily see in Hallmark movies. You know, it's got such a great mm-hmm. cast, such good direction, writing, this the soundtrack, just everything about it is wonderful. Yeah. I think, and this is just being such a fanboy for Nora and even Rob, who both of whom I'm not first name basis with. come at me, Nora. But I feel like they would want us to have a conversation about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things they do beautifully in that movie is that there is a gray area. Mm-hmm. I think maybe more than the moral being that men and women can't necessarily be friends is just the moral of that sex complicates things.
Yeah.
You know, and that a man, you know, in this movie, the characters, the man can be very disposable about sex, allegedly.
Right.
And the female character maybe gives it more weight. Mm-hmm. And not being sexist, I'm just expressing what is shown to us in the movie. But it is that gray area. But I love that they go there. You know, I think that Carrie Fisher and Bruno Kirby are essential to this movie. We talked mm-hmm. a little bit about this before we recorded. That, you know, they're not there in just a role for you know, Billy and Meg to have screen time away from each other. They really are bringing some perspective, some food for thought, some comedy to the proceedings. And so I love the different perspectives that this movie shows. And something I mentioned earlier was that I think it's a movie that guys can watch and feel represented in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, I especially love the like little scenes in this movie. Like I love like when they're just even just talking about Casablanca, when they're talking about they're talking about art, they're talking about just these, I think that's where Nora Ephron shines the most, is these sort of little essays that she does, because she would write essays. She was famous for doing in The New Yorker and things like that. She has books of essays, which are so good.
So
and,
good.
Yeah. And I think that adds a richness to the whole experience you can kind of, whether it's, and a lot of it was probably improvised as well by Billy Crystal, because he is just so funny. But just those kind of little moments where you really feel like you're laughing, you get to know these characters, even just like a little scene, like when they're doing the karaoke in the Sharper Image store or whatever. And then his ex comes and then you see, I never imagined I'd be singing Surrey with a Fringe on top when Irving walks in, you know, whatever, with his ex. And I don't know, just all that stuff makes the movie a rich experience.
It's so rich, yeah. Right? The word is rich. There's so much texture to it. And I agree with you, like those little quiet moments when they're talking to each other on the phone in bed, it's just, mm-hmm. I don't know. And there's something soothing about watching it too. You know, you look at movie or TV shows like Friends now is in such a resurgence, and it doesn't necessarily have as much with the anniversary as it does with just sort of this universal appeal and this richness and this, you know, these dimensional characters that we can kind of relate to, even with the shenanigans going on. And, you know, this movie does that. It's just great. And also too, like you could have a favorite that's one character. I could have a favorite that's another character. Somebody could have a favorite scene. Somebody could have a different mm-hmm. favorite scene. So it is, it's just so rich. It's so textured. And for a romantic comedy to be that, you know, and it's such a love letter to New York City and just all this stuff, you know, it's, and that, guess what? That's why we're talking about it 30 years later.
And when it first came out, it was compared a lot to Annie Hall, but because Annie Hall has the little commentaries in between the different scenes. Annie Hall is wonderful. But I think there's a little bit of cynicism to Annie Hall, because it's Woody Allen and everything like that, that his sort of dry humor. I think that there's a hope in this one. There's a sweetness to this one that I prefer it personally over Annie Hall. They're both wonderful, but it was compared a lot to it at the time because they were pretty close together. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing. But I love scenes like when they're having that fight over the wagon wheel table. I love that scene. It's just like, I will never, ever want that wagon wheel table.
Nora Ephron, man. My gosh.
Also, I think the iconic scene of I'll Have What She's Having, which is Rob Reiner's mother that says that line in the deli, is an important scene because Billy Crystal thinks he has it all figured out. Harry, the character of Harry, thinks he knows women. He's got it all down. And she, in one scene, she completely obliviates everything that he thought he knew about women. And so that's a really, I think, important scene. And it's super funny.
Yes, yes. And Meg Ryan is, you know, everybody, you know, points to when she's, you know, making the noises and all this stuff, yeah, which is hilarious. But at the end, when she gives him that look and takes a bite, I mean, it just really shows her talent too, and why, yeah, at the time she was the go-to. And she, you know, mm-hmm, she wasn't just, you know, filling in a vacancy. I mean, she's as good as he is the supporting cast is, you know. Again, it's first rate all the way across the board.
Yeah. And I also love when she's really upset about seeing her ex is going to get married, and it's kind of a climactic scene. And she says, and I'm going to be 40. And he's like, in 8 years, but it's coming. It's out there. I love, yeah, that. When I was turned 32, I was like, and I'm going to be 40. And now, yeah, I'm about to turn 39. It's really coming.
That's so funny.
There.
Anyone who hasn't read Nora Ephron's essays, you should get, yeah, her book, I Don't Like My Neck. I'm misquoting, yeah, the title a little, but that's a series, yeah, of essays. And oh my gosh, she's just genius.
Yeah. The essay on parenting, even though I'm not a parent, is perfect. It is a perfect little essay.
Well, listen, that's a good writer, right? That's somebody that can invite, mm-hmm, you into a world that you don't necessarily know. And then make you be like, wow, she nailed it. I mean, yeah, or he nailed it. If it's a male writer.
Yeah. And then we have they have the big fight at the wedding. And it's so well written. And he's like, is one of us supposed to be a dog in this scenario? It's really good. And I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying, why does it have to mean everything? Which it just does. I think that's brilliant. And
that kind of sums it up, the whole movie.
Yeah. Yep. And then we get our big scene at the end. He's running through New York, and he finds her at the New Year's party and says, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and the thing is, I love you. And that's when he's like, I love the crinkle of your nose. I like it. It takes you an hour to order a sandwich. Just that whole thing. I love it. It's so good. And so, yeah, it's a great movie. It's a great romantic comedy and a great movie to watch on New Year's.
And if you should comment and let us know what your favorite line is, yeah, because one of the fun things about talking about that movie, obviously everybody brings up the deli scene, but everybody does have their favorite little part or their scene. So tell us what, yeah, is yours so we can indulge.
Yeah, that would be really fun. I would love to hear that. So there we go. That's When Harry Met Sally. That's our little tribute to it. It was really fun to talk about with you and to get your take on all these Winterfest movies. So there's no excuse to ever be bored in the world of Hallmark. That's for sure.
No, there is not. And we love the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we love Hallmarkies podcast and the whole gang. It's so fun to be here. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for inviting me back.
Well, thank you for making time. And let us know what your snowflake rating would be for these films. We would love to hear in the comments.
And don't
section.
Forget, super cool people do 0.5 when you give a show.
That's right. Let us know on Twitter or in the comments section. That would be great. And Greg, where can people follow you on social media? All that fun stuff.
They can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Greg McBride, G-R-E-G-G, an extra G at the end, McBride, M-C-B-R-I-D-E. And I can guarantee you lots of silliness.
Yes.
So if you're into that, follow
me. Yes, follow Greg. We'll have all the information in the description section. You can follow me, Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So make sure you check that out. I do weekly family movie night picks, so I think you'll really enjoy that. And make sure you're following the podcast, Hallmarkies Pod, and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere you can want to be, we're here. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you are listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, please give us your thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that as well. And this has just been so much fun. Everybody was super jealous. Oh, you get to talk to Greg? Get to do the podcast with Greg? You're like a celebrity in the world of Hallmarkies Podcast.
I love that. I love you guys. You guys are so nice. It's so fun. And I'm not just a guest. I am also a fan. I love your podcast. I think it's great. And I love your reviews, Rachel. I think it's just fun. It's fun. It's you know, it's like dishing with friends over the breakfast bar, whatever it is. It's fun. So I'm so happy to be here. And I wish everybody listening a very, very happy new year, and safe, and just full of good things and happy viewing experiences and health.
Yes. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.